Merry Christmas from Building Great Leaders, and welcome to a very special Christmas edition of the program with Dr. Les Olala. This edition was recorded on the campus of Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Today, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the Scripture says about the Holy Spirit in the Christmas story. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. My name is Chris Harper. I had the privilege of sitting down to speak with Dr. Olala for this edition. He is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. Now here's our discussion on the Holy Spirit in the Christmas story. Very glad again to have Dr. Les Olala in studio with me today, and it's an unusual format to the program, although a great one to get to be able to just speak with you today on the program, Dr. Olala.
Oh, it's such a privilege, Chris, for me to be here and be back on island and seeing the place that I love and people that I've grown to love so dearly, and it's very humbling for me to be able to even be on the air with you, especially sharing the topic of our Christmas story.
Well, we have a couple of special Christmas broadcasts this year. This one we're going to be talking a bit about the Holy Spirit's work at Christmas. And as we've even already discussed off air, this is something that doesn't come up very often in our discussions about Christmas.
Yes, often when we read the Christmas story, you know, as was customary with our family, before we had opened the gifts, we would always read Luke chapter 2, read the Christmas story, and as a reminder of what this is all about, not just a pile of gifts under a tree, but really what it is all about. But one thing that we have often not discussed is the topic of the role of the Holy Spirit in the Christmas story. We have God the Father, we have God the Son, and we have God the Holy Spirit. But I thought it would be profitable, Chris, for us to talk through what role did the Holy Spirit play in this Christmas story. And it's extremely crucial that we look into this because it is so basic to the Christmas story. And we'll begin looking in Luke chapter 1. And we see when they were told of this coming Christ, in verse 13, and the angel of the Lord said unto him, now this is speaking of Zacharias, and he was troubled, and he actually fell on his face in fear and worship when he was spoken to, but the angel said, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. So Zacharias was praying. He was a godly man, a man with a heart for God, a man with a knowledge that something was about to happen, didn't know when. He knew Old Testament scripture. He said, fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. So that's the first mention of the Holy Spirit in this Christmas story, in the birth of John the Baptist. Later we'll notice that when Elizabeth goes in Mary's presence, the babe leaped in her womb. But interestingly enough, that he was going to be filled with the Spirit, John the Baptist, for this role, a forerunner of this coming Christ, from his mother's womb. Very unusual. And again, no chance was going to be taken of the coming of this Christ child. There was no chance of human intervention. There was no chance of human stopping this because the Holy Spirit, right from the very beginning, even filled the forerunner with the Holy Spirit as he was going to be proclaiming that Christmas story. And then we look in verse 35 and following. We'll look in verse 34 of Luke chapter 1. And it, again, it speaks of this one who was coming. verse 32, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, speaking now of this coming king. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Now we see the second reference of the work of the Holy Spirit in this Christmas story. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her that was called barren. So now this is a reference back to John the Baptist being filled with the Spirit in Elizabeth's womb. And Mary said, behold, and in fact it said, with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. Now she goes, Mary goes to Zacharias' home and Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now here's the third reference. Now we see the Holy Spirit in preparation, i.e. with John the Baptist. We see the Holy Spirit in consolation to Mary. Say, Mary, don't be afraid, because the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. This is the miraculous virgin birth that was about to take place beyond our human comprehension, how all this worked, but we know by faith what God has said. And we see the instruction that came as a result. So Mary found consolation because the Holy Spirit settled her heart. And now we find Elizabeth with this instruction that was given. The babe leaped in her womb, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in the ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of the things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit shall rejoice in God my Savior. Now Mary is, that's magnificent of Mary that we know, where she lifts up her heart in praise and exaltation and praise for the story now that is developing. Now she has been instructed. The preparation was done. The consolation was done to Mary. The instruction now was done through Elizabeth in giving this word as she is comforted. And we see that the Spirit of God is now bringing this whole story together. None of them could figure out what was going on, except they knew that there was a coming Messiah. But here they had no idea that they would be the human instruments that were chosen for that. You might have some thoughts to add on that, Chris.
Or... I had a little bit of a question in the sense that we have this New Testament understanding of the Holy Spirit. And I wonder when Elizabeth and Mary heard this from God, that the Holy Ghost is going to do this and your new boy is going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I wonder how they thought of that. What was their consideration of what that meant to them?
Well, they were, because Zacharias and Elizabeth were godly people, and Mary and Joseph obviously were from godly background and heritage. They knew something was coming, but I don't think they had any idea that they were going to be the ones who were chosen for this role.
Yeah.
They knew Isaiah 7:14. They knew Isaiah 9:6.
Right.
They knew the prophecies that there was one coming. They knew Micah, that this coming king was to be born in Bethlehem, even though family was from Nazareth. They had all that knowledge. So the premise here is that they had hearts for God, and they were pliable, obedient, and sensitive, and tender, and ready to obey, to be used as a tool. They didn't all of a sudden have to get right and say, "Now I can be usable." They were just walking their normal life, which is a good lesson for us. You live your normal life, sensitive to what God is doing. Remember, the Holy Spirit had not come into the world in a permanent abode yet till Pentecost. So this was all pre-Pentecost. And so the Spirit of God worked in the Old Testament. Now we see the Spirit of God working in the New Testament times. And so they didn't understand except that what the Spirit of God communicated to them and what was communicated to Zacharias, because Zacharias was in deep prayer regarding, because he knew the time was coming near if he knew Daniel. But we find in chapter 1 that there was, and you'll see this here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, "There were in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Now you trace these back to the priests of Aaron and Moses. "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless." See the condition that was here?
Yeah.
"And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years." So Elizabeth and Zacharias were both almost like an Abraham and Sarah scenario. "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, it was his turn to fulfill that particular role. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." So picture him doing his normal, he had his normal turn in this role, and it was his course that to be in part of that. And all of a sudden, there's an angel there. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But here's where now we see, "But the angel said, fear not, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth." So the condition, how did they know? They were walking in daily obedience with a heart of sensitivity for the God they knew, the Jehovah of Israel that they knew, and not knowing, suddenly now they are chosen. So we see the Holy Spirit there in preparation. So their hearts were prepared. Mary's heart was consoled. And we see that through Elizabeth, there was comfort and instruction given. Do you have any other thoughts on that?
Well, it sounds like to me you're saying these are not idealized people that we might get in our own minds, that these are giant Christians, but they were walking with God. But it seems like they got a little glimpse of something, and even in the angel, and didn't tell everything that was going to happen. I know Mary learned that she was carrying the Messiah, but they got a glimpse, and now it's on them to move forward the way God wants them to go, one step at a time. And we see the whole story, but they didn't at
they
the
didn't,
time.
No. All no. they were was walking with hearts for God,
right.
Walking in obedience, walking in worship, keeping the word of God as they knew it, walking in the fear of God. That is, walking in the conscious awareness of God's presence. They became very usable people. But suddenly, now they're a part of this story.
Yeah.
And it had to be mind-boggling, in my mind to think, here's Elizabeth, they're getting older, common people. I mean, Zacharias was a priest, but that was, they had courses of priests, and they all had their turns, and happened to be Zacharias' turn. In that particular course, now that assignment was given, and all of a sudden an angel is talking to him and is given that instruction. And so now let's go to chapter 1 and verse 67. And we find now another phase of this story. And it would be interesting, those of you who are listening may want to get your Bibles out later today or as the Christmas season goes on and read through Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 2, and rehearse these things in your mind. And it came time for Elizabeth to deliver. And so now his father, in verse 66 of Luke chapter 1, and all that they heard them laid them up in their hearts. In other words, all of these things were said, and they laid them in their heart. They're meditating on this. They're trying to process all of this, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now we see reference 4. Now Zacharias is filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Now referring back to their knowledge of Old Testament prophecy. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all that hate us, to perform his mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant. So he goes on telling the deliverer has come. And now we see a prophetic proclamation. So there was preparation, there was consolation, there was instruction. Now we see a prophetic proclamation. And that prophetic proclamation was that this one is coming, and the truth of the gospel is now given in verse 77, to give knowledge, note this, of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. And I'll read also verses 74 and following, that he would grant unto us that we may be delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness, in righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light unto them that sit in darkness. You talk about Great Commission. Here's a prophetic utterance of the gospel going to the entire world. To give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. And so we see now Zacharias is making this prophetic utterance of this one who is coming. And then let's look in chapter 2 of Luke and verse 25 and following. And obviously you'll have to read the entire passages, which we will not have time to go into in this particular time. And we see verse 15 of Luke chapter 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Now this is another man who comes on the scene here. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. So now we see another person come on the scene who was holy, who was just, who is devout, who was knowledgeable of Old Testament scriptures, who is trusting God that something was coming, and they knew something according to the time frame had to happen. It was happening very soon. And note this, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So now Simeon comes in, who was walking in holiness, in fear of the Lord, waiting, trusting, believing. And now we see in a fifth setting the Holy Spirit's work in this redemption story. And the Holy Ghost came upon him. Now we see salvation that has become, because what does it say? That he should not see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it came to pass by the Spirit into the temple that when the parents brought the child Jesus to do him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, now here's the babe put in Simeon's arms. He is holding God the incarnate Son in his arms. And now Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to the Gentiles. Here was a revelation. A light to who? To the Gentiles.
Right.
That was the mystery hidden from past.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jews had no concept in their mind that the gospel was going to go to the Gentile world, but it's in this spirit, the Spirit of God revealed, a light to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, and a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. Now Simeon is making a prophetic utterance. Mary, a sword will pierce your soul. Here is the cross mentioned by revelation of the Holy Spirit in the Christmas story. And that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed from the temple. She not from the temple. Her whole ministry was prayer. Anna, her whole ministry was prayer in this time, as a part of this whole story. But now again we see the Spirit of God revealed to Simeon. Now you're holding the incarnate Son. And he said, now I can die because mine eyes have seen salvation, i.e. the Christ child, i.e. the Redeemer. But telling the mother, your sword is going to pierce your soul.
Yeah.
Mentioning the coming. And then we see salvation. And a good question is, what role are we playing now in obedience? Now the Spirit of God comes at Pentecost. And we who are believers have been given the command to go into all the world with the gospel. It's right in. Going to the world with the gospel was right in the Christmas story.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we see that. I ask myself the question, am I filled? Am I walking? Am I ready? Am I prepared when God chooses to do his work through me? Am I caught by surprise when God is doing his work? And a listener might ask himself, at what point in time did I accept this Christ child, i.e. the one who came, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, crucified, raised again on the third day for our justification, a light unto the Gentiles. Now the Spirit of God is at work in us as believers. Because when you become a believer, you will become indwelt by the third person of the Trinity. And we have the command to go into all the world, preach the gospel, my message. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come on you. Ye shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Now that is the baton has been handed to us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit as we go to this world with the gospel.
Right.
But it's an interesting little tracing through this Christmas story.
Yeah.
The role the Spirit of God played in all of these lives and truth. So
the Christmas story we sometimes think is just one thing. And yet all of the gospel we saw, we even saw these things that they were still coming to grips with, like the gospel going to the Gentiles, that they're still coming to grips with in Romans and in Galatians and in
Ephesians.
Acts where Peter himself has to be given a vision of these animals coming down on a blanket out of heaven. And there are all these things right in the Christmas story, if we have the courage and the care to look, it's there.
Yeah, and you think of what Peter had to defend, give the testimony again many times,
yep,
of what happened, the Jerusalem Council, he had to give testimony. And then Paul, in his conversion, defending himself before the Pharisees and Felix and Agrippa and Festus, and he said, God, save me. You know what kind of a Pharisee I was. I think Paul had the pedigree to be the next high priest, according to Philippians 3. But he said, you know what I was. But God saved me and called me to the Gentile world to go with the gospel. But then in Ephesians and Colossians, that was a mystery hidden in ages past. What mystery hidden? That the gospel was going to go to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And can you imagine being the high priest the night Christ was crucified? That, remember, that was the Passover. They were in Jerusalem celebrating the Passover. At time of the year when the high priest would go in that annual time to see whether that sacrifice would be accepted. And all of a sudden, the thick veil rips from top to bottom. Earthquakes. I mean, how would you like to have been that high priest on duty that night and thinking, whoa, this is different. But what was that tearing? There's no more veil between man. One God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. The wall of partition was broken down. That wall that separated the court of Gentiles from the Jews in the synagogue, that wall was taken down. And all the handwriting of ordinance that was against us was nailed to his cross. So what a story. A story we have to tell.
It is. It's an amazing story. And I just thank you, Dr. Olala, for being with us this season of the year and pointing our hearts maybe not just to the Luke 2 narrative, but also to these ways in which I think of just some applications today as being usable. Be usable. I had a friend who would always tell me, just be usable. And also seeing these prophecies, also the look ahead that Simeon had, and then holding in his hands the Messiah. Amazing thoughts today. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this special Christmas edition of Building Great Leaders. Dr. Les Olala on the Holy Spirit in the Christmas story. This edition was recorded on the campus of Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. This radio outreach is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Be sure to join us again next time for more teaching from God's Word, and Merry Christmas from Building Great Leaders.